Our Father, in the name of Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to fellowship around the written word and to fellowship with one another. Father, we thank you for this gathering, this assembly. And our Father, we ask that as we look into your word now, every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear. There is no confusion in any heart. Rather, we all enjoy the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in all of this house. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father. We give you praise, for we know it's done. For in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. Okay, you can take your seat. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14:23. Okay, it says, therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place, hallelujah, in one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind? Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we began a study around the local church, right? We want to find out what exactly the local church is. What is the function of a local church in the life of a Christian? Amen. Why did God give local churches? Praise the Lord. Okay, so we want to find out. So we began in the first service. You know, we saw that word church, and we said it's gotten from a Greek word kuriakos. Remember that? Meaning belonging to the Lord. Okay, and then we said that in the New Testament you have a Greek word that is used for the church, ecclesia, right? Okay, which means called out, right? Okay, or an assembly of called out ones. Amen. And then we said that that word ecclesia can be used in different contexts. Remember that? You know, it was used for both circular and non-circular gatherings, right? We saw it was used for circular gatherings, arias, right? Then also for the people of Israel gathered in the wilderness. Amen. Then we said that word is also used for the Church of Christ, mostly, okay, or majorly is used for the Church of Christ. And when it's used for the Church of Christ, it can be used in three ways, either for the historical church, remember that, okay, then the universal church, and the local church. Amen. Okay, so we said in the last service that the majority of its usages is for local assemblies. Remember that? Local churches. So in the last service, we just tried to look around God's word as touching the universal church. I trust that was clear. Okay, the universal church made up of every Christian that has ever lived. Amen. Okay, an organization of the saints. Praise the Lord. Okay, then we ended by saying that, you know, the church is born out of the resurrection of the Christ. Amen. You know, there wasn't any church before Jesus died. Amen. It was buried and it was raised. There wasn't any church of Christ. Let me specify. Amen. Okay, so it needed to die, be buried, be raised from the dead. Then the Spirit is given, hallelujah, to men born again, to men who believe on the gospel. Then those men are baptized, right? Immersed into his body. Okay, then we concluded just so a little bit of metaphors that are used to describe the church. You know, we saw the temple, amen, the sheep, right? We are sheep, and we are also branches. He is the vine. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we put a full stop there on the universal church, okay, in the first service. I think the Church of the Living God deals more with the universal church, right? I think so, okay. So you can get that teaching, okay. He explains that for you very well. Amen. But this particular teaching will focus majorly on the local assembly. Praise the Lord. Okay. So in this service, we want to look at Ecclesia as the local church. Amen. We've seen Ecclesia as the universal church, right? Now we want to see Ecclesia as the local church. Now let me say this to you, that gathering is not exclusive to Christianity. Amen. Okay, gathering is not exclusive to Christianity. Christians are not the only ones who gather. Amen. Gathering is a part of human relationships. Okay? Humans gather together. Okay, you see that our families gather around the dining table, right? To eat. Okay? You see that fans, they gather at a concert, right? Amen. You see that co-workers gather for meetings. Okay? So gathering is part and parcel of human existence. Follow that? Gathering is part and parcel of human existence. Human beings gather together. Amen. Okay, but the ultimate purpose of gathering is fulfilled in Christ. Okay, so although human beings gather together, the ultimate purpose of gathering is fulfilled in Christ. Okay, we see that God had a plan right from the beginning for a gathering of his people. Hallelujah. Okay, everyone in Christ gathered as one. Okay, everyone in Christ gathered as one. Look at Ephesians 1:7. Please turn your Bible there. Ephesians 1:7. It says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, now look at this, he might gather together, underline that, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. Follow that? On the line, in him. So redemption is a corporate idea. Do you follow that? Redemption is a corporate idea. Okay, so God redeems a people to himself from every tribe and every nation. Hallelujah. Look at Revelation 5:8. Please turn your Bible there. Revelation 5:8. Okay, now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain. Now look at this. And have redeemed us. Underline that, us. You see, a plural, right? Can we say a people? Okay, to God by your own blood. Now look at this. Out of every tribe, underline that, tribe, and tongue, underline tongue, okay, and people, okay, underline people, and nation, underline nation. Now look at this. And have made us, plural again, right? Okay. Kings and priests to our God. Plural again. You see that? And we shall reign on the earth. Hallelujah. So God's redemption is of a people. Do you see that? It is a corporate work. Okay? It is a corporate work. You know, same is repeated at Revelation 7:9. Revelation 7:9. It says, after these things I looked and behold a great multitude. Hallelujah. Underline that, okay? Great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations. Underline that, all nations, tribes, peoples. Underline that, peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palm branches in their hands. You see that? So there is a gathering of God in Christ. Okay, there is a gathering of God in Christ. God saves us through a people. Do you follow that? So we are not saved to be alone. Come on. Okay, we are not saved to be alone. Man being alone was never God's plan. Hallelujah. Okay, it was never God's plan. Look at Genesis 2:18. Genesis 2:18. Please turn your Bible there. Genesis 2:18. It says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good," underline that, "not good that man should be alone," underline alone, okay? "I will make him a helper comparable to him." You see that? It is not good that man should be alone. Now, some have argued that the helper here is Christ. Amen. Some have argued that the helper there is a woman. Hallelujah. Okay, well, over the years, we've argued that it's both. Amen. Wherever your position is, the point is simple. God did not make man to be alone. Follow that? Okay, whether you say the helper there is Christ, amen. Whether I say it's a woman, the point there is clear. Man wasn't made to be alone. Okay, so can we say that God's intent from the very beginning is a relational man? Huh? Okay, a man who fellowships with God and with others. Hallelujah. So God wants man's relationship centered around him. Okay, so what does that mean? That means that our men would gather and relate with one another for the purpose of worshiping God. You follow that? So God wanted man's relationships centered around him. Okay, don't just have people you relate with them around me. Do you get it? The relationship should be centered around me. So there was to be fellowship. You follow that? But sin, as we have said, broke this fellowship, right? Genesis 3 records this. Let's see that. Genesis 3:22-24. Okay, it says, "Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us," or separate from us, right? Remember, in the Hebrew, okay, "to know good and evil, and now lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out," underline that, "sent him out of the garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out," underline that, "drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the garden," okay, "of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life." You see that? So sin puts a barrier in that relationship, creating an enmity. You follow that? It puts a barrier to that relationship, creating an enmity. Now, interestingly, we then see men gather after the fall, but for the wrong reasons. Okay, after the fall of man, we then see men gather together, but for the wrong reasons. Now you see that Genesis 11 records an incident. Please turn there. Genesis 11:1. Now remember the story, the Tower of Babel. Okay, now look at this. "Now the whole earth had one language and one speech." Is that the form of unity? Can we say? Okay, "and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there." So you see a gathering, right? Then, now look at 3. "Then they said to one another," underline that, "one another, come, let us," underline that, "let us," okay, "make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They had bricks for stone and had asphalt for mortar, and they said, "come, let us," underline that, "let us," a plural, right? Okay, "build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens." Look at this again. "Let us," underline that, "let us," okay, "make a name for ourselves," underline that, "ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." Okay, so you see the people gathered here, but for the wrong reasons. Okay, so we can call this an unholy gathering. Okay, they are gathered together for sin and rebellion against God. Now, that was never God's intent for gatherings. You follow that? So, we then begin to see human relationships having the wrong motives. Okay, men would gather, but for the wrong reasons. Look at Psalm 2:1. Psalm 2 verse 1. Hallelujah. Psalm 2:1. It says, why do the nations rage? Underline the nations, okay? And the people plot. You see that? Underline the people plot, okay? A vain thing. Okay? The kings of the earth set themselves. Underline kings, underline set themselves. And the rulers take counsel together. Underline that. The rulers take counsel together. Now why? Look at this. Against. Do you see that? So you see a gathering, right? Okay? Against the Lord and against his anointed. That is his Christ. You see that? So gathering for the wrong reasons. Do you see that? Okay, saying, let us break their bones in pieces and cast away their cords from us. So here we find men gather not to worship God but against him. You see that? Okay, now this prophecy in Psalm 2 is fulfilled when the nations, that is the Gentiles and the Jews, gather together to plot the death of Jesus. Look at Acts 2:23. Okay, Acts 2:23. It says, him there being our Lord Jesus Christ, being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you there are the Jews. Okay, underline that. You have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. So the Jews did that. Okay, they plotted Jesus' death. You see that Acts 4 shows this more clearly. Look at that. Acts 4:23. Now remember the story here. This was after the disciples were arrested. Remember that? And they were warned by the Jews not to preach Jesus. Now look at verse 23. Okay. And being let go. Okay, that is from arrest. Amen. Now look at this. They went to their own companion and reported all the chief priests and elders had said to them. Now that would be the chief priests and elders of the Jews. You see that? And when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and all the sea and all that is in them. Now look at 25. Who by the mouth, underline that, by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the nations rage? You see that? Underline that, okay? The nations rage and the people plot vain things. Underline people and vain things, okay? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together. You see that? Against the Lord and against his Christ. Quoting Psalm 2, 1 or 2. You see that? Now look at verse 27. Look at the interpretation or the application of this text. Verse 27. It says, for truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. So that is the anointed, Psalm 2. Do you see that? Both Herod, now Herod will be a Jew. You see that? And Pontius Pilate, a Gentile, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. Underline that. Were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. So Psalm 2 is fulfilled in the Jews gathering against the Lord's Christ. Do you see that now? And they continued against the Lord's servants. Look at verse 29. Verse 29 of that same chapter. It says, now Lord, look on their threats. Remember, they are threatened the apostles, right? Okay. And grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Hallelujah. So we see sin corrupting the gatherings of men. Do you follow that? So they gather not for the worship of Yahweh, but to devise evil. Do you follow this? With the wrong intentions, the wrong motives, but God makes a plan. Hallelujah. You know, I've told you, God's plan is never thwarted. Amen. You know, God can see what will happen in the next 10,000 years. Do you get it? So you'll be silly to think what you do will stop his plan. He has seen what you are going to do. Amen. You know, that's based on people think that when Satan rebelled against God, God said, "Hey, kilole, kire." Amen. You know, you saw that years before Satan was created. Amen. Okay, hallelujah. So God makes a plan. Praise the Lord. Okay, and he tells that plan to his friend Abraham. Amen. Okay, look at Genesis 12:1. You know, that's why these guys that say you can lose your salvation, you know, it's just quite funny. You feel like God reacts to sin. Okay, you know, like the way you live every day. Amen. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You think that's how God sees sin. So when you sin on Monday, you say, "Hey!" Then you sin on Tuesday, you say, "What?" And Wednesday, you say, "Ah!" Tuesday, "Hey!" Friday, "Ah!" Amen. Then Saturday, "Hey, oh my God." Amen. You think that's how God sees. You know, God has seen your entire life. Amen. He has seen every sin you ever commit. Do you know that? Since the day you were born, the day you die, he has seen everything. Amen. And he took all of it and put it on his son Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay. Genesis 12:1. It says, "Now the Lord has said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families," underline that, "all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Hallelujah. Now, families here speak of people groups. Okay? People groups. A band of persons. That is family here, okay? A band of persons. So, we would then have blessed people groups. That is what God is saying here. You get it? We have blessed people groups, okay? Blessed gatherings of people, now as opposed to the curse of the law. Genesis 3. Can you see follow that? Okay, so God will undo what happened in Genesis chapter 3. Hallelujah. So God begins to carry out this plan. Now, first of all, through the people of Israel. Amen. You see that Israel is gathered from Egypt as the people of Yahweh. Amen. Israel is gathered from Egypt as the people of Yahweh. Look at Deuteronomy 29:13. Deuteronomy 29:13. Please turn your Bible there. Let's see that. Okay. Deuteronomy is after Revelation. Amen. In case you're looking for it. Praise the Lord. Are you there? 29:13. It says that he may establish you. Now that's Israel. Okay. Today, as a people for himself. Underline that. A people for himself. You see that? And that he may be God to you, just as he had spoken to you, and just as he had sworn to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You see that? So we don't have persons redeemed from Egypt, but a people. Do you follow that? It is a corporate redemption. Do you follow that? Let me say that again. God did not redeem persons from Egypt. God redeemed a people. Come on. Look at Exodus 12:37. Exodus 12:37. Now, this was after their deliverance from Egypt, okay? Exodus 12:37. Please turn there. Exodus 12:37. It says, "Then the children of Israel," underline that. Children of Israel, a people. A people. Okay, journeyed from Ramses to Succoth. Now look at this. About 600,000 men. Underline that. 600,000 men on foot besides children. Underline that, okay? Children. And look at 38. A mixed multitude. Underline multitude, okay? Went up with them also, and flocks and herds, a great deal of livestock. So, people left Egypt that night, not single persons. Do you see that? People left Egypt that night, not single persons. You see that? Exodus 13 records similarly. Exodus 13:20. Please turn there. Exodus 13:20. It says, "So they," now they are referring to the Jews, okay? took their journey from Succoth and camped in Etham at the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them. Them plural or singular? Plural. Underline it, okay? By day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them, underline that, them, plural, right? Okay, light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people, underline that, before the people. So God redeems for himself a people from Egypt. You see that? Not persons, a people. So it will seem like salvation is a corporate affair. Did you get that? It will seem like salvation is a corporate affair. It seems like God doesn't rescue persons. He rescues people. Do you follow that? Okay, I said it seems. Amen. Okay, looking at his dealings with his people in scripture, it seems like God doesn't rescue just a person. He will rescue a people. Hallelujah. So Israel is called an assembly. Look at Deuteronomy 10:4. Deuteronomy 10:4. Okay, and he wrote on the tablets, according to the first writing, the Ten Commandments, which the Lord had spoken to you in the mountain from the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. Underline that. The assembly. And the Lord gave them to me. You see that? So they are called the assembly. Then they are also called an holy nation. Okay? Also called an holy nation. Exodus 19:3. Please turn there. Exodus 19:3. It says, and Moses went to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all the people, for all the earth is mine. Now look at 6. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests. Underline that. Kingdom of priests. And a holy nation. Underline holy nation, okay? These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. You see that? Now you notice that all the redemptive titles used for Israel are corporate. Right? It says a kingdom, that's a group of people. Come on. It says an holy nation, that's a group of people. So that speaks of a group of persons, not individuals. You follow that? A group of persons, a group of people, not individuals. So we now see a holy gathering here. You follow that? As opposed to the unholy. Do you follow this? We now see an holy gathering here, as opposed to the unholy. Okay, you see that as Israel wanders for 40 years in the wilderness, they are called the congregation. Look at Numbers 1:2. Numbers chapter 1, verse 2. It says, take a census of all the congregation. Underline that, okay? Congregation of the children of Israel by their families, by their father's house, according to the number of names, every male individually. Now, the names of males were taken individually only because of war. You see that in verse 3 of that same chapter. It says, from 20 years old and above, all who are able to go to war in Israel. You see that? Let's underline that, okay? Able to go to war, okay, in Israel. You and Aaron shall number them by their armies. Underline that. Armies, okay, so to know men who could fight, right, in battle. But the nation was taken as a whole. You follow that? A congregation. Look at Numbers 14:27. Numbers 14:27. It says, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation? Underline that, congregation. who complain against me, I have heard the complaint which the children of Israel make against me. Okay, they are called the congregation of the Lord. Look at Joshua 22:17. Joshua 22:17. The congregation of the Lord. Okay, Joshua 22:17. It says, "Is the iniquity of Peor not enough for us, from which you were not cleansed, even to this day, although there was a plague in the congregation of the Lord?" Underline that. The congregation of the Lord. "But that you must turn away this day from following the Lord, and it shall be, if you rebel today against the Lord, that tomorrow you will be angry with the whole congregation of Israel." Underline that. Whole congregation of Israel. So they are called a congregation because they actually gather together. You follow that? In the name of the Lord, in the name of Yahweh. Now you see that this practice continued even in the promised land. Okay, even when they got to the promised land. In 1 Kings 8, for example, you see that they gather at the dedication of the temple. Please turn there. Okay, 1 Kings 8 verse 1. 1 Kings 8 1. They gather together at the dedication of the temple. It says, "Now Solomon assembled," underline that, "assembled the elders of Israel and all the earth of the tribes, the chief fathers of the children of Israel, to King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord from the city of David, which is Zion. Therefore, all the men of Israel assembled," underline that, "all the men of Israel assembled with King Solomon at the feast in the month of Ethanim, which is the seventh month." So all the elders of Israel came, underline that, came, and the priest took up the ark. Then they brought up the ark of the Lord, the tabernacle of meeting, and all the holy furnishings that were in the tabernacle. The priest and the Levites brought them up. Also King Solomon, now look at this, and all the congregation of Israel, underline that, all the congregation of Israel who were assembled with him, underline assembled, okay, were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be numbered or counted for multitude. So you see, they are gathered together, right, as a congregation. Also in Nehemiah 8, please turn there, Nehemiah chapter 8, you know, when they came back from exile. Nehemiah 8:1. Nehemiah 8:1. It says, "Now all the people gathered together," underline that, "gathered together as one man." Hallelujah. You see that? Underline one man, okay? "In the open square that was in the front of the water gate, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel." You see that? So there was such a culture amongst God's people. Okay? There was such a culture amongst God's people, gathering together in his name. Hallelujah. Gathering together in his name. Now also note that in the Old Testament, God's people didn't just gather. Do you follow that? God's people didn't just gather. They gathered around certain things. Do you follow that? They gathered around certain things. Now, you may bullet point here. Okay? Now, first of all, they gathered in a specific place. Do you follow that? They gathered in a specific place. Look at Deuteronomy 12:5. Deuteronomy 12:5. Okay? It says, "And you shall seek the place," underline that, "the place which the Lord your God chooses," underline chooses, okay, "out of all your tribes to put his name for his dwelling place, and there you shall go." You see that? So Moses speaks of the place. You follow that? Where they would worship Yahweh. Now, it is specific. Now, you see that God himself would choose this place, right? Okay? This is where worship was to take place. And then you see that much later, Mount Zion in Jerusalem was chosen, right? As that place of worship. So, they met in a specific place. Are you following this? Okay. Now, next, they gathered at specific times. Okay? At specific times. Look at Deuteronomy 16:8. Deuteronomy 16:8. It says, 6 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day, underline that, seventh day, there shall be a sacred assembly, underline that, sacred assembly to the Lord your God, okay, you shall do no work on it. You see that? So, there were special times and seasons in which worship occurred. You see that? Special times and seasons in which worship occurred. Worship was ritualistic. Okay, under the Old Testament, worship was ritualistic. Now, the word ritual is not necessarily a bad word. I know you are in Nigeria. Amen. So, when you hear ritual, you hear gbomo gbomo. Amen. Gbomo gbomo. That's the next thing you hear. Praise the Lord. Ritual is not necessarily a bad word. The word ritual simply means what you do over and over again. Do you follow that? Not gbomo gbomo. Okay? What you do... Praise the Lord. What you do over and over again at a given time. So, worship in the Old Testament was ritualistic. Okay? It was a ritual. Then next, in the gatherings were special people. Okay? The leaders, the priests of Yahweh. Do you follow that? So when you go to the gathering of the Jews, you will see special persons there. Okay, the leaders. Okay, the priest of Yahweh. Look at Exodus 28 verse 1. Exodus 28:1. Hallelujah. Exodus 28:1. It says, "Now take Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister to me as what? As priests." Underline that. As priests. And look at this. Aaron and Aaron's sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. Okay? So, the Aaronites served as priests in the gathering of God's people. Okay? The Aaronites. That is Aaron as his sons. They served as priests in the gathering of God's people. Then next, they gathered to do special acts. Do you follow that? They gathered to do special acts. Look at Deuteronomy 12 again. Deuteronomy 12:5. Okay, again. It says, "But you shall seek the place," underline the place, okay, "where the Lord your God chooses," okay, "out of all the tribes to put his name for his dwelling place, and there you shall go." Underline, "you shall go," okay? Now, what were they to do once they got there? Look at verse 6. It tells us, it says, "There you shall take your burnt offerings." You see that? Underline that. Burnt offerings. Your sacrifices. Underline sacrifices. Your tithes. Underline tithes, okay? The eve offerings. Underline that. Eve offerings of your hand. Your vowed offerings, underline that, vowed offerings. Your free will offerings, underline that, free will offerings. And the firstborn of your herd and flocks, underline firstborn, okay? Now 7. "And there you shall eat before the Lord your God." You see that? "And you shall rejoice," underline rejoice, okay? Underline eat before, okay? "In all to which you have put your hand, you and your household, in which the Lord your God has blessed." You see that? So, where the people gathered and when they gathered was important. You see that? Okay? Also, what they did when they gathered, right? And the persons or the leaders, right, in the gatherings were also important. So, there was a definite place, can we say? A definite time, can we say? Definite acts, right? And definite persons. Do you follow that? Okay, everything was specific. So, we then have a gathering of people with Yahweh as the center. Do you see that now? Okay? They gather because of him. They gather in his name and with a definite structure. That is the congregation of Israel. Hallelujah. So God's people did not merely gather haphazardly. No. They gathered in a specific place with a specific purpose. Now that was order. Do you get it? That was order. So it's not enough. They didn't just gather. Okay, they had a reason for the gatherings. Okay, and you see that in that gathering, the people worshipped, right? And received the blessings of Yahweh. Look at Numbers 6:22. It says, and the Lord said to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, this is the way that you shall bless the children of Israel. Underline bless. You see that? Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel and I will bless them. So the gatherings were not just for giving, but also for receiving. Do you see that? The gatherings were not just for giving, but also for receiving. So they worship, God blessed. Do you see that? They gave something, right? They worship, then God blessed. Do you see that? Through his ministers. Okay? So the gatherings were a time to be blessed. Hallelujah. Now, it's no wonder that the psalmist longed for the gathering of God's people. Look at Psalm 122 verse 1. Psalm 122:1. It says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Do you see that? Because in that house was blessing for God's people. Hallelujah. Okay, you see that? So, several things were going on in the gatherings. Do you see this? It wasn't just gatherings. Several things were going on there. Giving, right? Receiving, right? Several things. Okay, we now had a blessed gathering of people, okay, for the purpose of worshiping Yahweh. Now, interestingly, when Israel sinned, the opposite was the case. You follow that? So, the curse of sin scattered their gathering. Do you follow that? When they sinned, you now had the opposite. Now, remember, they were supposed to gather, right? Now, when they sinned, they were now scattered. So, instead of gathering, the people were now scattered to foreign nations. Look at Deuteronomy 4:27. I want you to pay attention to this, okay? Look at Deuteronomy 4:7, okay? Deuteronomy 4:7. Please turn your Bible there. Let's see that. Okay, it says, and the Lord will scatter you, underline that, scatter you, okay, among the people, and you will be left few in number, underline that, few in number, among the nations where the Lord will drive you. Now, permissive, right? Is this scattering them or allowing them to be scattered? Okay, thank you. And then you will serve gods, underline that, serve gods, the work of men's hands, underline work and hands, okay? Wood and stone, underline that, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. You follow this? Now, this is a consequence of sin. Look at verses 25 to 26, Deuteronomy 4. Okay, it was a consequence of their sin. Look at verses 25 to 26. It says, when you beget children and grandchildren and have grown old in the land and act corruptly, underline that, act corruptly, or you can say sin. Do you get that? Or sin, and make a carved image in the form of anything, and do evil, underline that, do evil in the sight of the Lord your God to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that you will soon utterly perish from the land which you cross over the Jordan to possess. You will not prolong your days in it, but will be utterly punished. You see that? So see this. Worship season is connected to sin. Do you follow that? Worship season is connected to sin, or worship ending, okay, is connected to sin. You see that when the people are no longer gathered around Yahweh's name, sin is in the picture. Come on. Do you see that? When the people are no longer gathered around Yahweh's name, sin is in the picture. Follow that. Deuteronomy 28:64. It says, then the Lord will scatter you, underline that, okay? Scatter you among all peoples from one end of the earth to the other, and there you shall serve other gods, underline that, serve other gods, which neither you nor your fathers have known, wood and stone. So you see that Moses warns them against sin. Do you see this? He warned them against sin. Sin would hinder the worship of Yahweh, and the gatherings would cease. Okay? And you see that this happened when Israel sinned. It came to pass just like Moses forewarned. The Jews are captured and taken to foreign nations. You see that? And in those foreign nations, they served idols. Amen? And the worship of Yahweh ceased. Now, not just the worship of Yahweh, as well as the blessing that came with the same. Do you see that? Then again, amen, God is not thwarted. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is not thwarted. Okay? His plans, his counsel will stand. Amen? Irrespective of us. Praise the Lord. Okay? Then God promises again that these scattered people will one day be gathered. Do you follow that? Yahweh promises in the Old Testament that these scattered people will one day be gathered again. You see that the prophets prophesy of a future gathering. Amen. Look at Deuteronomy 30 verse 1. Deuteronomy 31. Now we'll run through now, so please, I want you to be very handy with your Bible, okay? Deuteronomy 31. It says, now it shall come to pass, when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord drives you, and you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice according to all that I command you today, you and your children with all your heart and with all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back. Underline that. You see that? Bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again. Underline that. Gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. See that? Okay, look at Isaiah 40:11. Okay, Isaiah 40:11, verse 11. Okay, it says, he will, underline will, okay, feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather, underline that, will gather the lambs and with his ham and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. You see that? Look at Isaiah 43:5. It says, fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east. Remember, they had gone into captivity, right? Okay, and gather you, underline that, gather you from the west. So God will deliver his people once again. Look at Isaiah 54 verse 7. Okay, Isaiah 54:7. It says, for a mere moment I have forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you. Underline that. I will gather you. So there will be a gathering again. Look at Isaiah 56 verse 8. 56:8. It says, the Lord God who gathers the outcast, underline that, gathers the outcast of Israel, says, yet I will gather, underline gather, okay, to him others besides those who are gathered to him. So God speaks of a future deliverance of the Jews from captivity. You see this? Now the reason for their deliverance is so that the worship of Yahweh can resume. Okay, look at Psalm 106:47. Okay, so that they can go back to the worship of Yahweh, the worship of the true God. Psalm 106:47. It says, save us, O Lord our God, and gather us, underline that, God arose from among the Gentiles. Now look at this. Two. So this would be the reason, right? Okay, two, give thanks to your holy name. Two, underline that. Two, okay, to triumph in your praise. You see that? Now, not only that, in these gatherings, there will be shepherds again. Hallelujah. Okay, shepherds again. Jeremiah 23, 3. Please turn there. Jeremiah 23, verse 3. It says, but I will gather, underline that, okay, gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and bring them back to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. Okay, I will set up shepherds, underline that, I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them, underline that, feed them, okay, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking, says the Lord. Now, these shepherds are the leaders in the gatherings. Okay? Now, the people will find the Lord again. Okay? The people will find the Lord again. Jeremiah 29, verse 14. Jeremiah 29, 14. It says, I'll be found by you. Underline that. Found by you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you, underline that, gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. Okay? Now look at Ezekiel 37:21. Ezekiel 37:21. Okay, then say to them, thus says the Lord, surely I will take the children of Israel from among the nations wherever they had gone, and will gather them, underline that, okay, gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. Look at Hosea 1:11. Hosea 1:11. Okay, then the children of Judah and the children of Israel shall be gathered together, underline that, shall be gathered together and appoint for themselves one head, and they shall come out of that land, a great will be the day of Jezreel. Okay, so a future gathering is promised. Okay, there will be an assembly again. Look at Micah 2:12. Micah 2:12. Okay, it says, I will surely assemble, underline that, surely assemble all of you, O Jacob. I will surely gather, underline that, surely gather the remnant of Israel. Remember remnant? Huh? Okay, I will put them together, underline that, put them together like sheep of the fold, like a flock, underline that, flock, in the midst of their pasture, underline that, midst of their pasture. They shall make a loud noise because of so many people. Underline that. So many people. Then next, Zephaniah 3:20. Zephaniah 3:20. Okay, 3:20. It says, at that time, I will bring you back. Even at that time, I will gather you. Underline that. I will gather you. For I will give you fame and praise among all the peoples of the earth, when I return your captives before your eyes, says the Lord. Now, Zechariah 10 verse 8. Zechariah 10 8. Okay. I'll whistle for them and gather them. Underline that. Gather them. For I'll redeem them, and they shall increase as the ones increased. Okay. Speaking of the Jewish people. Then verse 10. I will also bring them back from the land of Egypt and gather them, underline that, gather them from Assyria, okay? I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon until no more room is found for them. So you see that these prophecies speak of a future event, right? When Israel, scattered among the nations, will be brought back, okay? the gatherings of God's people will happen again. Now, recall the gap principle in Bible interpretation. You remember that principle? Now, that principle means that a prophecy can have a dual application, right? First, to the direct recipient, right? But ultimately, to another recipient. Do you follow that? So, how this principle works is this. God will say something to someone, but in his mind, he has someone else in mind. Do you get it? So, he said to this fellow, but it will ultimately be fulfilled in another. You follow that? Okay, so the prophecies here, although made to Israel, will find their full fulfillment in Christ. Hallelujah. Christ is the essence of prophecy, right? Revelation 19:10 tells us that, right? Revelation 19:10. Please turn there. It says, the testimony of Jesus is what? The spirit, remember that? Or the essence of prophecy. Okay, so what God promises to Israel would find fulfillment in him. Hallelujah. Okay, so there will be a gathering in Christ. Are you following this? There will be a gathering in Christ. Look at how John the Baptizer says this about him. Matthew 3:12. Please turn your Bible there. Matthew 3:12. Okay, it says his winnowing fan is in his hand. He's there being the Lord Jesus, okay? And he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor. Now look at this. And gather his wheat. Underline that. Gather his wheat into the barn, but it will burn off the chaff with unquenchable fire. Come on. So there is a gathering involved in the work of Christ. Do you see that? A gathering involved in the work of Christ. His wheat here is a metaphor for his people. Do you follow that? That would be a metaphor for his people. Okay, an imagery borrowed from agriculture, right? Okay, look at Matthew 12:30. Matthew 12:30. So just like a farmer goes, right, and gathers his crop, right? So Jesus' work would be likened to that. Look at Matthew 12:30. It says, he who is not with me, now me there is Jesus, okay, is against me, and he who does not gather with me, underline that, does not gather with me, scatters abroad. Do you see that? So there would be a corporate or collective aspect to his work. Are you following this? You see that his parables also speak of a gathering. Look at Matthew 13:47. Okay, in his parables you find a gathering. Matthew 13:47. Please turn there. Okay, please turn there. It says again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet, okay, that was cast into the sea. Now look at this, and gathered, hallelujah, some of every kind. Underline that. Gathered some of every kind. Now every kind they refer to men. Do you see this? So there is a gathering. You see that his teachings emphasize a gathering. Look at Matthew 18:20. Matthew 18:20. Okay? Matthew 18:20. It says, for where two or three are gathered together. Underline that. You see that? Gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. You see that? A gathering. Now, interestingly, he rebukes Jerusalem for rejecting this gathering. Okay, he chides the people of Jerusalem or Jerusalem for rejecting this gathering. Matthew 23:37. Okay, Matthew 23:37. Please turn there. 23:37. It says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. Now look at this. How often I wanted to gather your children together. Come on. Underline that, okay? Gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Underline that. You were not willing. So do you see that those prophecies in the Old Testament could not have been referring to Israel? Do you see that? Israel never fulfilled them. You see what Jesus says here? He says, you were not willing. Come on, do you get that? Okay, so those prophecies in the Old Testament could not have been referring to Israel. Okay, made to Israel, but with a future people in mind. Hallelujah. Okay, praise the Lord. Now, see something interesting that happens, John 11. Please turn there. John 11:49. Now here, the priests gather to plot against Jesus, okay? Now, can we call this an unholy gathering? Okay? Now, look at verse 49, John 11. John 11:49. It says, and one of them, Caiaphas, being high priest that year, said to them, you know nothing at all, nor do you consider that it is expedient for us that one man, underline that, one man should die for the people, underline the people, and not that the whole nation should perish, underline the whole nation, okay? Now look at 51, very interesting. Look at this. Now this is said not on his own authority, look at this, but being high priest that year, he prophesied. Hallelujah. Do you see this? That Jesus would die for the nation. Praise the Lord. On the line for the nation. Now see this. Verse 52. And not only for that nation, but also that he would gather together in one the children of God who are scattered abroad. Hallelujah. You see that? On the line, gather together in one, okay? And scattered abroad. So you see that by the mercy of God, one of the conspirators prophesies. Do you see God? Okay, revealing God's plan to gather his sons in one. Praise the Lord. So all who are scattered, right, lost in sin, are now gathered to the church of Christ. Hallelujah. So you see, Caiaphas prophesied about that. You see this? Okay, so Jesus says that he will build his church. Okay, he says that he will build this church. Matthew 16:18. Please turn there again. Okay, Matthew 16:18. Okay, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Okay, his church would include both Jews and Gentiles, as many as believe, right? Okay, get the church of the living God for clear explanation of that. So just like God redeems Israel from Egypt, right, and gathers her to himself, he then redeems all who believe and draw them to himself in Christ. Hallelujah. Look at Colossians 1:12. Oh glory, oh glory. Colossians 1:12. Okay, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us, underline that, delivered us from the power of darkness, underline that, the power of darkness, and conveyed us, underline that. You see that? Conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Okay, this happens by the work of Christ. Amen. He dies, he is buried, and then he is raised the third day as our mediator. Praise the Lord. Look at Romans 8:34. Okay, he becomes our mediator. Romans 8:34. Okay, it says, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. Hallelujah. Okay, and furthermore is also risen, who even is at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Hallelujah. Say, so makes intercessions for us. Praise the Lord. Look at Hebrews 7:25. Hebrews 7:25. It says, therefore he there being our Lord Jesus Christ, is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Hallelujah. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. Hallelujah. Who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did it once for all when he offered up himself. Hallelujah. So in Christ there now is a gathering. Okay? In Christ there now is a gathering. Look at Hebrews 12:22 as we begin to close now. Hebrews 12:22. Okay? It says, but you have come to Mount Zion, underline that, Mount Zion, and to the city, underline city, okay, of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, underline that, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, hallelujah, underline that, general assembly, and church of the firstborn, underline that, church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, underline just men, okay, to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Hallelujah. So you see, where have we come to? A people. Do you see that? See, I told you, God doesn't save you in isolation. Do you follow that? God doesn't save a man in isolation. He saves you to a people. We are redeemed to a people. So there is now a heavenly Jerusalem. Do you see that? There is now a new Mount Zion in Christ, where God has chosen that his people worship. Now, just like Jerusalem in the Old Testament. Do you see that? Do you see that? So, this is the ecclesia, the body of Christ, which every man, okay, every just man who is a believer in Christ, right, is a part of. Hallelujah. Okay, every just man who is a believer in Christ is a part of, whether dead or alive. Hallelujah. So it is a spiritual reality. Do you follow this? This ecclesia is for all the nations. Look at Luke 24:46. Oh, thank you, Lord. Luke 24:46. Okay. 24:46. Okay. Then he there being the Lord Jesus Christ, said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, underline that, all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So as we preach the gospel, we are adding men to his church. Do you see this? The church is being built. Look at 1 Corinthians 3:9. 1 Corinthians 3:9. Okay, for we are all God's fellow workers. Now you there referring to the church, okay, are God's field. You are God's building. You see that? So it calls the church God's building. Now this building grows more and more as we preach. More men are added. Look at Ephesians 2:19. Ephesians 2:19. It says, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. It says, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Okay? In whom the old building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Now look at 22. In whom you also are being built together. Underline that. Being built together. So a continuous act, right? A continual act for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Now, I used to have an issue with this phrase in the past. What does it mean, being built together? So are you trying to say we are not yet a dwelling place of God? Right? So it's good to ask questions. Amen. What do you mean by we are still being built? Okay, until I read the antecedent text. Amen. Now remember, he had earlier said that Gentiles are being added to the church. Right? Look at verse 11. It says, therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called circumcision. Now those are the Jews, okay? Made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, look at this. In Christ Jesus, you who once were far off are what? Being brought near, hallelujah, by the blood of Christ. So as those who are far are brought near, the dwelling place of God is being built. Do you get it? More and more, more and more. So in your mind, see every soul as a brick, amen, as a block in God's house. So as more souls are being added, it's been growing. Do you get it? That's what it means, being built up. Do you get it now? Okay, so there is a reality in the spirit called the church. Do you see that now? There is a reality in the spirit called the church. Now this church is made up of all men born again. Okay, those we can see and those we can't see. Do you get it? That is the universal church. Okay, both those we can see, those who are died, amen. You know, Paul is still a part of the church, amen, but we can't see him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So it exists in the spirit. It is the new Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. But interestingly, this spiritual reality also has a physical expression. Do you follow that? So the church we can't see is revealed in the church we can't see. Did you get that? The church we can't see is revealed in the church we can't see. So hear this. Once a man puts faith in Jesus, Jesus expects that man to find others who have done the same and relate with them. Do you follow that? Once a man puts faith in Christ Jesus, Jesus expects that man to find others. Are you here? Others who have also done the same and to relate with them. So you are not safe to remain on your own. Are you seeing this? And we see this right from the book of Acts. Okay, you see that those who were saved joined themselves with others who also were saved. Do you follow that? The saved were found in the company of the saved. Hallelujah. Look at Acts 2:42. Okay, it says, and they, now these are new converts, okay, those who are just believed, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And look at verse 44. It says, now all who believed were together. Clear? Okay, all who believed were together. Underline that, okay? Were together and had all things in common. Underline in common, okay? And sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all. Underline that. Among all, as anyone had need. Now 46. So continuing daily with one accord. You see that? Underline one accord, okay? So they were together. You see this? In the temple and breaking bread from house to house. Okay, they had their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Okay, so there was a gathering. You see that? An assembly from house to house. You know, the early church met in houses, we've said, right? Okay, look at Romans 16:3. Okay, we're going through now. It says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risk their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Underline that, okay? In their house. So they met in house churches. Then you see that other times, they met in larger places, okay? Look at 1 Corinthians 14:23. That's our anchor text. Please go back there. 1 Corinthians 14:23. It says, therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place, underline that, okay? One place, and all speak with tongues, and they come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, we did not say that you're out of your mind, okay? So there was a physical, local expression of what was in the spirit. Do you follow that? There was a physical local expression of what was in the spirit. There were visible gatherings. Okay? No one was allowed to be on his own. Do you get it? No Christian was allowed to be on his own. Every Christian identified with an assembly. Do you follow that? which is what we call a local church today. Hallelujah. Do you see that now? Which is what we call a local church today. And this fulfills God's promise under the old to one day gather people in his name. Hallelujah. So that promise has now been fulfilled in the local assemblies. Do you see this? In the local churches. Praise the Lord. So the promise, the prophecies made to Old Testament Israel are found fulfillment in the New Testament church. Hallelujah. But let me say this, that the New Testament gatherings differs from Old Testament Israel in several ways. Amen? Okay, they differ in several ways. Okay, so you may bullet point here as we're going to close. Okay? How do the gatherings differ today? Now, first of all, we can now meet any day. Amen? Not only on special feast days. Amen? We can meet any day, not only on special feast days. Look at Romans 14:5. Romans 14:5. Learning so far? Okay, thank you very much. Romans 14:5. Hallelujah. Okay, one person esteems one day, underline that, one day above another. Another esteems every day alike, underline that, every day alike. Let each, underline each. Now look at this, be fully convinced in his own mind. Do you get it? So the day you've chosen to observe doesn't have anything to do with me. You get it? Everyone can choose which day. That's what Paul is saying here. Do you get it? Look at 6. He who observes the day, observe it to the Lord. Do you see that? And he who does not observe the day, to the Lord he does not observe it. Do you see that? He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he will give thanks. And he who does not eat, to the Lord he does not eat, and gives God thanks. Okay? So we are no longer mandated to observe special feast days. Okay? Special Sabbaths, like it was under the law. Do you get it? So we can now choose what days we want to worship as a church. Do you see what Paul is saying here? Okay, and Paul rebukes the Galatians for still doing this. You know, some people, I was going to say this by the side, some people think that Sunday is the day God has chosen. Amen. For the church to gather. We'll look at this in this teaching. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We can meet any day. Hallelujah. Any day of the week. Amen. In fact, every day of the week. Oh, you're quiet. Praise the Lord. Okay, you see that Paul rebukes the Galatians for doing this. Okay, they were still observing special days, special feast days. Okay, Galatians 4:9, as we close. Please turn there. Galatians 4:9. Hallelujah. Okay, but now, after you have known God, or rather, are known by God, how is it that you turn again, underline again, okay, to the weak and beggarly element, underline that. Weak and beggarly element to which you desire again to be in bondage. And look at 10. You observe days and months. You see that? And seasons and years. And look at 11. I am afraid for you. You know, when your pastor tells you this, you know you're in trouble. Say, hey, where do I want to start with this brother? Okay, I'm afraid for you lest I have labored for you in vain. You see that? So he rebukes them. He says, why are you still observing Jewish feasts? Amen. That has been done away with in Christ. Hallelujah. Okay, so we can now gather on any day to worship, not just a specific day. Look at how Colossians 2:16 says this. Okay, Colossians 2:16. Please turn there. Let's see this. Okay, Colossians 2:16. Are you there? Okay, so let no one judge you. Say, let no one judge you. Say, let no one judge you. Okay, in food or in drink, okay, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath. Now these were under the law, right? These were all under the law, festivals, right? New moons, Sabbaths. And look at 17, which are a shadow. Come on, you see that? Can we say type? Okay, a shadow of things to come, but the substance of the realities of Christ. Do you see that? But the substance, or you can say the realities of Christ. You see that? So you are not supposed to observe new moons anymore. You see some Christians still observing Sabbath. To you alone. Amen? it is done away with in the law. All of that was a shadow. Do you get it? Okay, the reality is now in Christ. Now next, we can meet anywhere. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We can meet anywhere, not only on Mount Zion. Look at how Jesus says this, John 4:21. Please turn there. John 4:21. Okay, Jesus said to her, now this is the woman at the well. Amen. Okay, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain, underline that. Now the Samaritans worshipped on that mountain, okay? Nor in Jerusalem. And that is where the Jews worshipped. Do you get it? Worship the Father. So you will neither on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You follow that? Remember the argument was, where should we worship? Right? And look at 22. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshippers, now look at this, will worship the Father where? In spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. This is a location. Do you see this? For all worship, there is now a new location. Okay? In spirit and in truth. That is in spirit, which is the reality. Come on. Hallelujah. Okay? For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. Okay? God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. You see that? So unlike Israel, who could only worship God at Jerusalem, we can now hold Christian meetings outside Jerusalem. Hallelujah. You see this? The hour Jesus spoke about is now. Amen. Is now. Hallelujah. So any man in the spirit can worship God anywhere. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay? So you don't need a special building. Do you get it? And that's why I tell folks, you can meet with your folks under the tree. Amen. As long as you are in the spirit and truth, it's fine. Praise the Lord. Okay, so the New Testament gatherings differ from the Old Testament Israel in this way. Then next, okay, we no longer offer animal sacrifices in our gatherings. Okay, you know, under the Old, they did that, right? Offered bulls and goats. But in the New, we no longer offer sacrifices in our gatherings. Okay, those sacrifices were not effective. The sacrifices of the Old were not effective. Look at Hebrews 10:1. Hebrews 10:1. Okay? For the law, having a shadow, a type, right? Of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. You see that? So those sacrifices were not effective. The offering of Jesus was enough once and for all to make us perfect. Hebrews 10:10. Okay? By that will, we have now been sanctified, underline that, okay? Sanctified through the offering, underline that, offering of the body of Jesus once. Hallelujah! You see that? Say once. Say once. Hallelujah. So we don't offer animal sacrifices anymore. You follow that? What we do when we gather has changed. Hallelujah. What we do when we gather has changed. Look at Hebrews 13:15. We don't offer bulls and goats anymore. Animal sacrifices. Okay? Hebrews 13:15. Okay? It says, therefore by Him, let us continually offer what? The sacrifice of praise to God. Hallelujah. Underline that. Sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips. Underline that. Fruit of our lips. Giving thanks to His name. Okay? So our sacrifice in the New is our praise and thanksgiving for all God has done. You follow that? So under the Old, they offer bulls and goats, right? Under the New, what do we offer? Our thanks. Amen? Our praise. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, then lastly. Okay, as we close now. Lastly, only the priest could approach God under the Old. Amen? Only the priest could approach God under the Old. Look at Hebrews 9:7. Hebrews 9:7. Okay? And into the second part, the high priest went alone. Underline that. Alone, once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. You see that? So only the high priest, right? Alone. But now in the New, we all can approach him. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews 10:19. It says, therefore, brethren, so those are the Christians, right? Saints, right? The church, right? Okay. Having boldness, hallelujah. Amen. Underline boldness and brethren, okay? To enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, hallelujah. Underline that. By the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. Look at 22. Let us draw near. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. As opposed to the Old Testament. Under the Old Testament, you don't draw near. Amen. You draw near, you die. Amen. But now he says, let us draw near because of the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. With a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Okay. So the work of Christ has made us all the priest in God's gatherings. Do you follow that? Everyone is now the priest. Look at 1 Peter 2:9 again. 1 Peter 2:9. 1 Peter 2:9. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Underline that. A royal priesthood. A holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we are a royal priesthood. We are a royal priesthood. Revelation 5:9. Okay. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. 10. And have made us what? Kings and priests. Underline that, okay? To our God, and we shall reign on the earth. You follow that? So we all are now the priests of God in the gatherings. Okay? Now, they are still leaders in the gatherings. Okay? But none of them are called priests. Do you follow that? You know, under the old, the priests were the leaders, right? Okay? Now, in the new, now, because we are all priests, doesn't that mean we are all leaders? Do you follow that? Okay? They are still leaders in the gatherings, but none of them are called priests. Look at Ephesians 4:11. Ephesians 4:11. Please turn your Bible there. Let's see that quickly. Ephesians 4:11. Okay. And he himself, okay, he there being our Lord Jesus Christ, gave some to be apostles. See that? Underline that. Some prophets. Underline that. Some evangelists. Underline that. And some pastors and teachers. Or pastoring teachers. Okay. Underline that. Pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So these are the leaders. You see that? You see, priest is not mentioned. Come on. You see that? So priest is not a ministry gift. Amen. Praise the Lord. Priest is not a ministry gift. So we are all priests unto God. Do you know that? That means that we all have access to God when we gather. Do you follow that? The leaders in the gatherings are not the only ones who have access, like in the Old Testament. Do you follow that? But there are leaders in the gatherings, as we will see. Amen? There are leaders in the gatherings. So, do you see that when we gather together under the new covenant, we gather around a finished work? Do you see that now? We gather around the finished work, the fulfillment and the true, not the type and the shadow. Do you see that? Everything that Israel enjoyed as a type, we now have as a reality. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, God's promises of a gathering have therefore been fulfilled in Christ. Praise the Lord. Say we are. It's gathering. Say when we are gathered together, we are the people of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, so in this teaching, get ready. We will see the implications of this. Okay, what does it mean to now be a member of a local church? Okay, what are the benefits of the same, and what are your responsibilities toward the same? Okay, we'll see, and I trust God it will bless us. Okay, and for those of us who are looking for a sound local church or a good local church, it will give you everything you need to make that decision. Hallelujah. Are you blessed today? Okay, lift your hands, give God praise. We continue from here next week. Give him praise. Just lift your hands. Thank him.